Hey, Dylan Kelly here, host of the Wave Break podcast. Excited to get into this episode, but first, here's a quick word from our sponsor. If you're looking to grow your business, there's only one way, and that is by building real quality customer relationships. Most marketing software will claim they do this, but they never deliver on their promises, and you need to demand more from your marketing software. And that's where Klaviyo comes in. Klaviyo helps you build meaningful customer relationships by listening and understanding cues from your customers, allowing you to easily turn that information into valuable marketing messages. And that's why 10,000 innovative brands, including all of our clients at Wavebreak, have switched to Klaviyo. Now, what's the secret to building those customer relationships? Tune in to Klaviyo's Beyond Black Friday docuseries to find out and unlock exact marketing strategies you can use to keep momentum going all year round. Just head over to klaviyo.com/beyondbf for more. Link is going to be down in the show notes below. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Wavebreak podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Kelly, the founder of Wavebreak. And if you're new here, I help Shopify stores stop leaking revenue with done-for-you email marketing. Now, e-commerce stores, listen, if you run an e-commerce store, you're leaving big money on the table if email marketing isn't your biggest revenue driver. Even in 2019, it just can't be beat. And you could do email yourself, but it's hard and it's time consuming. You need a team of experts to manage it for you. And at Wavebreak, we help e-commerce stores like yours stop leaking revenue with done-for-you email marketing. And you can learn more about what we do at www.wavebreak.co, or you can shoot me, Dylan, personally an email. Just send me an email over to dylan@wavebreak.co. A link down to Wavebreak is always in the description if you want to learn more about what we do over there. Now, back to the podcast. Every week on this show, I interview the people behind the top Shopify stores and I get them to share their secrets. And if you've been enjoying the podcast, you can subscribe on iTunes to make sure that you never miss an episode, because we've got some good ones coming out for you guys, and this one is no exception. Recently, Nat Eliason, founder of a company called Growth Machine, they do done-for-you content marketing for e-commerce stores and internet brands. They grew their personal e-commerce blog from zero to 150,000 monthly visitors in just 8 months using SEO and content marketing. And in today's episode, he is sharing all of the details and much more. So without further ado, let's hop right into it. Thanks so much for coming on the show, Nat.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, so I'm like I said before, I'm super excited for this episode. But before we get into today's topic of content marketing for e-commerce, can you just tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so I got into this whole content marketing world like 4 years ago. I guess initially as a freelancer and through a series of interesting and exciting career experiments and transitions, eventually ended up here running this content marketing agency, Growth Machine, where we help e-commerce companies figure out SEO and content. And it's kind of like an amalgamation of all the things I'm interested in, where I was able to take the success of my own blog and turn it into helping other companies do the same to sell their own products. And now we're turning back around and using our expertise to sell our own products. And so I've kind of been in this, you know, using words to sell stuff world for a while now. It's been kind of a fun and exciting adventure. So I'm always excited to talk to other companies that are trying to figure it out too.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so like, so you've taken that experience and now you started this company called Growth Machine. Can you talk a little bit about like the company and like what you guys do there?
Yeah. So I got hired a bit over, I guess almost exactly 2 years ago now, by a couple of companies, Kettle and Fire, Patreon, Spire, to help them as a consultant with their content marketing. And that was an interesting experience because I'd been just doing my own blog at the time. I was making passive income off of that through SEO. And I went in to try to help these companies, you know, get more sales through content as well. And two of the three of those went pretty poorly. It worked out really well when I was in there helping them do it. But it was kind of like the classic consultant, you know, McKinsey walks in and like hands you a book of everything to do and then walks out and nothing gets implemented problem, where I helped them set up these systems. And then, you know, once I stepped out, it kind of fell apart because there was nobody there to keep running them. And from that, I kind of said, okay, well, maybe I should just create a system where a company that wants to do this can hire us and we can do everything for them. And that was sort of the inspiration for Growth Machine, was, all right, let's make a kind of premium tier, completely turnkey SEO-focused content marketing agency where companies primarily in e-commerce that want to use content information to drive sales can just literally write us a check every month and not have to do anything else. We just create the articles, get them ranked on Google, bring them traffic, make it as easy as possible for them so they can focus on the channels that are already working. And we started that I started that back in September 2017. And yeah, we're doing over $1,000 a month in revenue now, a year and a half later.
Yeah, that's awesome. And one thing that I like about what you're doing is that it's not just like blogging for the sake of blogging. Like, can you talk a little bit about your content marketing strategy?
Yeah, well, we start all of it with the topics people are already looking for. So, you know, we'll only work with companies that are in a space where there is a large body of topics related to their products that people are searching on the internet. So, you know, I'll talk about Cup and Leaf, our e-commerce store, because obviously I can't talk a ton about what our clients do, but, you know, with Cup and Leaf, right, we sell tea. And that actually started as a tea blog where we said, okay, there's actually this big area of interest around tea, right? Health benefits. Tea, different types of tea, like sourcing tea, history of tea, all of that. And that info market, right, like all of those topics was not being serviced well by the existing blogs and companies out there. So we said, all right, well, let's just start a blog about tea as a side project, kind of as a proof of concept for leads, because we would get companies that would reach out to us and they would say, you know, can you show us a really good case study of how you've helped this site grow? And no client wants to give up all their data and sales and all that stuff. And so we said, all right, we just need to make our own case study. And so with that kind of like exemplifies an area where we go out and we find, okay, what's something people are really looking for that's not being answered well? And then how can we create articles that answer those questions that then tie back into the products the site is selling? A lot of companies that start getting into content will sort of write about random stuff that they think is interesting, or they'll write about stuff related to their product that nobody's looking for, or they'll write with the hope of things going viral. And all of that stuff very, very rarely ever works. Whereas taking an approach of, okay, here are the 150, 200, 300 topics that we should be number one on Google for, and we're going to create amazing resources on all of these topics. And over 2 years, we're going to start getting hundreds of thousands of visitors a month who are very interested in the kinds of problems our products are solving. That strategy is where you can actually start to get really, really good ROIs on your blogging and content marketing. So that's what we focus on.
Right. Like, I can only imagine like how engaged those people must be if they're already actively searching for it. And then you don't have to pay for the ad. Which is awesome. And you kind of already touched on this part a little bit too, but like, are there any specific like niches that content marketing won't work for? Like, let's say I run a jewelry or apparel brand, for example, and like, what kind of brands does this work best for and not necessarily work for?
Yeah, for the type of content marketing we do, it needs to be an area that has well understood problems, if that makes sense. So it can't be something like, what's a good example? Even take something like the iPhone, right? When the iPhone came out, nobody was searching like best touchscreen phone, right? That wasn't even really a thing on people's minds. If you're creating like a completely new product area, or creating something where people don't really know that they want it or need it, or that it's going to solve some problem they're having, it's going to be really hard for this to work. But if you're doing something in an area where there is some well-established interest, so like, you know, dog health, right? Or like dog training, If you have an amazing product for training dogs, that is something people are looking for already, and you can displace the results that are showing up on Google right now. And so those are the sites that we like to work with. They're ones where it's solving some well-known established problem in like a new and interesting way. And if we can help them take over the search results for that topic, then we can help them drive a lot of sales.
Got it. And speaking of SEO, like I saw on your website, like you've helped Kettle and Fire hit over 180,000 monthly visitors and rank on the first page for some serious keywords. Like, what's your SEO strategy? So obviously you're putting out a lot of content and you're using the content to rank on Google. But like from an SEO perspective, what does that look like?
Yeah, I actually, I published this literally a couple of days ago, so you might have missed it when prepping for the interview. I published a really in-depth post on this, on our blog actually, about how we grew the Cup and Leaf blog from zero to 150,000 monthly visitors over the last 8 months. And that will pretty much give everyone anything they need to go out and copy us. Oh, wow. For the most part. There's a few things that are really, really big. One is the topic area, right? So if you're going after a hyper competitive area or an area where there's no search volume, it's not going to go well, right? Like it's just going to be really hard to rank. So with a lot of our clients, we only will take them on if we do see an opportunity, and we're really selective in who we work with. We turn away, 19 out of 20 or 95 or 99 out of 100 of like clients, just because they're not, we don't think they have a really strong fit. And so you've got to have that, but then you've got to have really, really good content. And that's sort of the question that we're using to drive everything we're producing is, will this be the most useful article on this subject on the internet? Because if it's not, it's going to be really hard for it to rank, right? You can do a lot with very few backlinks if you have truly amazing content. But all the backlinks in the world won't make up for having terrible, shallow content. So we put a lot of effort into making the articles really good. And a lot of our sort of budget from our clients goes into paying for some of the better freelance writers that we can afford, because we know that we need to be paying like good experts in the area, not people who are churning out $25 articles on Upwork. So that's a really big part of it. And then honestly, like the other really big thing is just consistency and patience. A lot of people give up because they put out an article or two every week for 3 months and don't see anything. And so they say like, oh, okay, it's not working. Like SEO doesn't work. I'm going to go do something else. But sometimes you just got to stick with it for 6-12 months until you start to see results. I mean, if we look at the Cup and Leaf graph, there was almost no traffic for 3 to 4 months, right? And we were doing 3-4 articles a week that entire time. But then you look at month 4 and 5 and it just hits this inflection point. It goes crazy. And we see that pretty consistently where sites don't grow slow and steady when it comes to SEO. They'll do nothing for a long time. And then something clicks, that one article does well on Reddit, whatever it is. And suddenly everything else starts getting lifted up as well.
Wow. Yeah, that's really cool. And I'll link that blog post up in the show notes below if you want to click on it. And you can see the chart and the graph that Nat's talking about. Now, speaking of that, like, how do you make sure, like, what's your process for producing in-depth content? And like, how long does it take to write these articles? Because, I mean, even this case study here that I'm looking at is like, this is a serious article in itself. Like, you have screenshots and you've got tons of content here. Like, what's your process for writing the best articles online?
Yeah, it's a combination of things. You know, one is like simply having that mentality does help, right? Where if you're asking yourself, okay, is this going to be the best article? And is this going to fully answer someone's question? A lot of people think the best article means longest. It usually doesn't. If the article's too long, people are just going to get overwhelmed and go back to Google and look for a more concise article. What it really means is providing the best answer to the question someone has when they plug that query into Google. So you kind of need to come at it with that thought in mind. And there are tools that can actually help with this. One that we use a lot that we really like is called ClearScope. And what it does is it basically takes the keyword that you plug into it and finds what related topics are included in all the top results on Google for that topic. That was kind of a mouthful, but if you plugged in like green tea benefits to ClearScope, right, it would tell you that things mentioned in the articles that are near the top of Google are also like, you know, catechins and blood pressure and heart disease and cancer and, you know, all of these things. And that gives us an idea of what we need to make sure we cover as a baseline in our articles as well. So that's part of it, is figuring out what everyone else is covering, making sure you're covering that in a concise way, and, you know, answering the question better than them. Another part of it is just having good writers. I know that's a boring answer, but we've realized just how important that is. Like, a lot of people are not as good of writers as they think they are, a lot of founders especially. And it's pretty much always going to be a better move to just pay for a good writer to do what you're trying to do than to try to do it all yourself. And that's why, you know, we basically created an entire other mini company within Growth Machine just for finding and sourcing and hiring really good writers, because we realized how core it was to our business doing well, and we realized how many other companies struggle with it. So we like spun that as an entirely separate side business just because it's so important to creating that good content.
Yeah, I know. It's so funny you say that. Like, I feel like people think writing is this like God-given talent that's just like everyone's just born with. But I mean, you think of your skills as a designer or another thing that really takes, you know, high level creativity and a lot of discipline to actually get good at. I mean, writing is the same way.
Oh yeah. It's not easy to explain something really well. And it's, this kind of writing is special too, because you not only have to be a good writer and be a good explainer, but you also have to know how to do it in an SEO geared way, which is an even rarer skill set. And I think that's part of where our process has worked really well, is that if we can find just a really good writer, we can handle the SEO part. Because it's hard to find a writer who can just do it all at once. Some of our writers have basically learned it now from working with us for so long, but having both of those parts, both of those pieces is rare. Usually you'll have someone who's either a really good writer, but they're not, they don't know how to do the SEO side, or they'll have somebody who's pretty good at the SEO side, doesn't know how to write really good content themselves. And that's, you know, you kind of need both for the strategy to work.
Absolutely. Like, what's your process look like for turning these like great articles into SEO content? Because I know, or like content that ranks well, because I know, like, for example, like sometimes you'll Google something, like, for example, you can Google, you know, web design New York, and you click the first link and the website just, it doesn't sound human at all. So like, what's your strategy for making it, you know, sound good and, you know, maintaining the integrity of the article while at the same time, you know, giving it the boost that Google's looking for?
It's kind of a hard question to answer. I mean, so much of it is very like instinctual at this point, for lack of a better way of putting it, where, you know, we know that if we answer the main question, cover all of the related topics that are relevant to that query, and do it in an interesting, well-written way, it's going to do well. We're not like checking off a 50 bullet point list of everything that needs to be done for an article. It's a lot more art than science, honestly, which I know is an annoying answer for people like me who are very quantitative and want like a step-by-step checklist, but that's sort of what it is at this point. I think things like Yoast and, you know, those tools can get you like 85% of the way there, but eventually you just sort of have to develop an intuitive sense for it. And we're doing like 40, 50 articles a week, and we get something like 1.5 to 2 million visitors a month across all of our content. Like, we just see so much of it, and we see what's working and what's not, that especially for Heather, who's our managing editor, you know, she's got like an amazing vantage into what's working and what's not in terms of article styling for SEO that I think very few people in this game have.
Yeah, I mean, that makes total sense. It's just like writing. Like, you're not just going to be like, you can learn as much as you want about it, but that doesn't mean you're a great writer.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you ask for like a step-by-step checklist to be a good writer, right? Stephen King just sort of laugh at you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. One thing I kind of want to jump back into is, you kind of mentioned this before with Cup and Leaf. Like, so you have your own in-house brand that you started from scratch, which is Cup and Leaf. Like, what was your process for getting started with content marketing? So like, is there a different strategy for stores that are already established? Is it different for stores that are brand new? Or is it the same strategy for ramping up content marketing? What does that look like?
It's pretty much the same either way. You know, it the nice thing with having a store that's already established is you've got some revenue already, you've got some stuff you can optimize around. It's a lot easier to add it in later than to start with it, because it's like content, if you want to start making sales off of it, it's going to take months, right? Months and months and months. If you start with ads, you can have sales today. So it's not honestly a good place to start. I wouldn't recommend it as like the core of your business plan, unless you're doing, you know, something that is very editorial driven, or if you're, you know, like us and you just are up for a fun challenge. It's usually people adding it on later, but the strategy is pretty much the same. You know, you're finding the best topics to go after, you're writing the best content on them, you're promoting it to get the traffic that you can, you're making sure your site doesn't have technical issues, and you're being patient and sticking with it until it starts to work for you.
Nice. And so speaking of like adding it later to your business, like let's say that, you know, I run an e-commerce store and, you know, I've been scaling it using Facebook ads aggressively and, you know, I've gotten to a certain point. Like at what point should I start thinking about adding content marketing to my business to like really like unlock that next level?
I'm not sure there's a hard and fast rule. You know, we like to see that sites are spending at least 10 grand a month on a marketing channel that's already working before we work with them. The reason for that is that SEO is very sexy. A lot of people think that it's just this like magical spell that Nat can come in and cast on your business, and then you'll get hundreds of thousands of visitors for free every day and like never have to pay for ads again. And it's not like that easy, right? And it's not fast. And I think there's a temptation to hear about companies doing well with SEO and getting sales from it and go like, oh my gosh, you know, ads aren't working for me. I want to try SEO and like maybe that will work. It's not going to save your business, right? If your business isn't working from another marketing channel, SEO isn't going to be like the magical switch that makes things suddenly work. It can help and it can be where you start, but it's not like magic. And what we do see is there are some sites that are just not, don't quite have their like product market fit, all of that down, that are like playing around with tons of marketing channels trying to get it going. And if you're in that state, I really wouldn't recommend putting much effort into SEO and content marketing just because it is so slow. You have to be so patient with it. It's almost never where you want to start as a marketing channel. So I would say figure something else out so it's working really well for you, and then add in SEO on top of that, because ads do get expensive and it is really nice to, over the course of a year, start to build up some of that funnel of, you know, quasi-free traffic.
Right, totally. And the last thing you want to do is become just totally dependent on Facebook ads. And then, you know, I mean, we've seen in the last couple of years all of the issues that Facebook has had with their advertising platform, you know, from just like a privacy and government perspective. I mean, like, you're risking a lot by just being purely dependent on their platform. And you're also missing out on, you know, all of the organic traffic, or if you're not doing email, all the email traffic. Like, there's a lot on the table that you literally, all you have to do is, you know, just add content marketing to your business and you can really unlock the next level. I mean, and if you hire Growth Machine or something like that, like, you don't even have to do more work.
Well, and it does like a no-brainer. Help some of those other ad channels too, right? Like blog traffic is great for retargeting. And that's what a lot of our clients do with it, is that even if they don't get a sale off the blog visitor, that is at least somebody they can pixel and follow up with on the other ad channels. And everyone, like a retargeted customer is always going to be cheaper than a completely cold customer. So there's a lot of downstream benefits from it as well. And even just brand familiarity, right? Like we've heard from, there's a few clients we work with who, you know, even if they aren't completely, they're not at like an amazing ROI for what they're spending on content yet, like they've noticed that it's just increased their kind of like perceived brand value by being found for these topics relevant to them online. And it's another one of those things. It's like very hard to quantify in a spreadsheet when you're doing like, you know, monthly targets and stuff like that, but it makes a difference.
Yeah, totally. Totally. As we start to wrap up here, and now that like listeners kind of know what they're missing out on if they don't have something like this in their business, like what is like the first one or two things that someone should do to get started with content marketing?
I mean, I really, and this is like a very self-serving piece of advice, so take it with a grain of salt, but don't try to do it yourself. And you absolutely do not have to hire us. There are other good content marketing agencies out there, but there are a lot of founders who will just sort of like try to, what we see a lot is people start a blog and then it's like no one person's responsibility. It's just, hey, everybody try to write an article when you get a chance, and it never goes anywhere and that just doesn't work. And if you don't have competency in search, in SEO and in content marketing, it's a really hard area to hire for, like incredibly difficult because it's so fuzzy. It's kind of like trying to hire a good designer if you don't know anything about design, if that makes sense. So I would try to find somebody you can talk to who knows this space, who can give you advice on, you know, whether it makes sense for you to try it, if there's an opportunity for you. Obviously, you can like fill out our lead form, and the first thing that I do is usually say like, hey, here's the opportunity, here's an opportunity. But I would kind of like start there because you might not be in an area where it makes sense. And if you can get a perspective on that before you put a bunch of resources into it, that's going to be really helpful. And then if it is an area where it makes sense, like find somebody who really knows how to do it and can do a good job, because this is an area where it's really easy to sink a ton of money and get nothing from it. Because like if you hire a bad ads agency, you're going to know really quickly, right? You're going to know if none of their ads are converting. If you hire a bad content agency or a bad SEO agency, you might not realize it for 6 months, right? And you could be paying them thousands of dollars a month, getting no results, and then at the end of it, have nothing to show for it. There's a lot more like bad business and scammy behavior in the SEO and content marketing agency world, which is something that we, you know, have to struggle with constantly, unfortunately. But if you can find somebody who can give your site a once-over, who knows what they're doing, who can say like, here's the opportunity might be, and here's how you could go after it, that will at least give you a sense of whether this is a channel that you should pursue or not.
Yeah, and that makes total sense. Longtime listeners will remember, I always used to make the analogy of like, I always used to relate going to the gym with everything, because really it is. But like content marketing, like if you just work out here and there, really nothing's going to happen. And if you don't eat right, nothing's going to happen. Like your body's not going to change at all. It's the same with content marketing. If you just do something here or there, like of course you're not going to get the results. You're not consistent. Like consistency, especially in marketing, is huge. And especially with the whole time thing, like come on, like let's face it. You don't have extra time. You're already running out of time in the first place. And everybody on your team is already strapped for time. I mean, like, yeah, I mean, it's a no brainer. And it is tough to find good help. Do you have any recommendations for like finding, to making sure like, you know, this isn't some like BS SEO person in there, they actually know what they're doing?
Yeah, case studies and past clients are going to be your best bet. And I wouldn't, if somebody has like a big name like Nordstrom, I wouldn't assume that that means they know what they're doing. I'd look for ones that have worked with smaller, fast growing e-commerce companies, because those companies have their analytics really dialed in. They know if, you know, an agency or an individual is doing a good job or not, you know, stats wise. Though, like those references are going to be your best way of finding someone. And, you know, again, whatever case studies they have on their site to show that they know what they're doing, right? A good agency should be super transparent about results they've gotten to the extent they can be. And if you don't see any like proof of success, like that should make you super worried. Be like a designer who has no designs in their portfolio. It just, you know,
right,
bit of text that says like, I'm really good at design, trust me, right? You'd probably not hire that designer.
Right, you'd ask to see their portfolio first. Yeah, it makes total sense. That's awesome. So we talked about people who don't know what they're doing. Now, speaking of people who know what you're doing, so as we wrap up here, where can we go to learn more about what you do, who is somebody who doesn't know what they're doing?
Yeah, if you think that there's an opportunity for content marketing for your site, or if you're, you know, not sure if there is, you can just go to yourgrowthmachine.com and you can fill out our lead form there. And I'm more than happy to take a look at your site. Like, I think there's a spot for extra info. I just mentioned that you listen to this podcast, and, you know, happily give your site a look over. Aside from Growth Machine, though, like my personal site you mentioned before, natalieson.com, has a lot of the other like less related to content marketing stuff, but it's kind of where I learned how to do all of this. And Yeah, and then Twitter. I love Twitter. I'm on Twitter all the time. So happy to talk about SEO and content marketing there as well. It's just at Matt Eliason.
Perfect. Awesome. So I'll link all of that up in the show notes below, as well as all the different software that you mentioned throughout the interview, and the case study you mentioned with your own brand, which was really awesome. I was scrolling through it as we were going through the interview. And it's just super in depth, and all his content is gold too. So make sure you go check it out. And if you are interested in working with him, head over to yourgrowthmachine.com. I'll link everything up in the show notes below. But as we close out this episode, thanks so much for coming on the show, Nat. I really appreciate it. And I learned a ton about content marketing, man. And it just, it got me super pumped for my own content, as that's something that I'll be investing more in myself, this year. So yeah, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Yeah. Thanks, Dylan. Thanks for having me on.
Now, listener, before I sign off, stop me if this sounds familiar. Your email marketing is stuck. You feel like you could be doing email better. You're not generating enough email revenue, and you feel like you're leaving money on the table. But you don't have the time to figure email out yourself or do it on your own because you have a business to run. Imagine this. Imagine not having to worry about leaving money on the table with your email marketing. Imagine not having to figure out what to send, when to send it, how many emails should look, what automation you need, what segments you need, how often you should be contacting your email list, or just worrying about sending the next email. You don't have to worry about any of that. Imagine having peace of mind knowing that your email marketing is generating sales in good hands. At Wavebreak, we help Shopify stores maximize their email marketing revenue. That's it. We don't do anything else. And we've created a system called the Wavebreak Method that, number one, makes you less dependent on Facebook or other marketing channels. So let's say something bad happens. Facebook says, see you later, Shopify store, and they just completely kill your ad traffic overnight. You don't have to worry. You don't have to stress because you're good to go because you have a cushion of email revenue. You don't have to worry about how or what your wife is going to do or if you're going to be able to make rent or if you're going to be able to pay people because you have this cushion of email revenue to rely on. Number two, the second thing this does is huge. And it's how stores scale from 7 figures to 8 figures to 9 figures. And the secret is repeat purchases. The Wavebreak method gets rid of one-time buyers and increases repeat orders. Number three, it keeps your email list engaged. You don't have to worry about Black Friday and beyond. We'll figure out the ideal amount of times that your list needs to be contacted to maximize revenue, and then we'll execute it for you. If you want to learn more about this system and how we can work together to apply it to your business, go to wavebreak.co to schedule a call with me. And I'll personally send you my calendar link and we can chat one-on-one. Now, I don't have unlimited time to do these calls. I can only do a couple of them per week. So if you want to get your call, go sign up at wavebreak.co for it as soon as possible and we can talk about how we can work together. Thanks for listening to this episode. Subscribe to the show on iTunes to get notified of new episodes as soon as they drop.